Amen. Good morning. You can be seated for a minute. I tried to dress up some today so I would look somewhat close to how beautiful my wife looks, but I don't think I did a very good job, so you're just stuck with what you got. But they'll be traveling home tomorrow. She sends her love and says that she misses all of you guys, and so keep them in prayer as they travel. But we have a lot of people that are out, a lot of families traveling, so keep everybody in prayer. Like to congratulate Logan Conine, who's not here today, and Brian Philibeck. They both received their exhorter's license at camp meeting, and Brian also passed his CAMS course, and so he is now a licensed minister in the Church of God. So go ahead and stand. So you now have Pastor Logan and Pastor Brian, and he will be preaching today, which I'm very excited about. Some celebrations. On the first, it was Wig and Michelle's anniversary, and I'm sorry that we missed that. And then the second was Matt and Shanna's anniversary. And then on the sixth is Miss Norma's birthday. So there's no prayer and worship tonight. You guys enjoy the weekend. And Wednesday night Bible studies will resume this week at 7 o'clock. Invite somebody to that. Next Sunday is the community worship gathering at 10:30 a.m. at the Beulah High School gym. So we will not be here. There's no morning service here. It will be there. And I ask that you please make plans to attend. It's always a good time, and it's good to get together as a community. So notice the time change, though. It's at 10:30 at the gym. The Honor and Glory acoustic concert will also be July 10th at 7 p.m. here at the church. This is geared towards the youth of the community. We've been working at this for a long time, trying to get it to happen. So we need help to make this happen. If you can help, like I said, Jessica will be home tomorrow. Reach out to her, say, I'll be available, and she will put you to work. There is also a youth fundraiser July 16th at Bronson's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And new calendars for July are out in the foyer. I know we're already into July, but go ahead and grab one because all the information you need is on that. And that will be just good for you to have. So that being said, I want to thank you guys for everybody that attended the church picnic and who helped with that and made that a success. And I was very jealous. I did not expect Mr. Danny to get on the merry-go-round, but I'm glad you did. Those videos will come back to haunt you maybe later, but you are never safe at any church event. I'm just telling you. So.
Well, good morning, everybody. Exciting to be up here. We've got a great day going on, so let's keep that going. Before I get into my message, I just want to give some thanks out there to everybody for the support as I went through CAMS, and Sean's going through CAMS, and the support of taking that exhorter's test. So I want to thank Sean and Dawson, Savannah, my family, and my parents are here today, so thank to them, and Pastor Justin and Jessica, so much support and help as I've prepared for that, and Logan and Kira were there giving me lots of help, and really the whole church family. Lots of you reached out with prayers and text messages and so many good things to love on me and give me encouragement. So thank you very much for all of that. Much appreciated. Let's open in prayer before we begin our sermon today. Lord Jesus, as we come today, Lord, just help to humble myself before you to speak your word of truth in your scripture, Lord. Lord, let the words today serve as a testimony of your greatness, of your goodness, of all the things that you do for us on this earth. Lord, I want to pray for those who have not found Jesus yet, and hopefully this message will hit those people in their heart and their mind, and they'll turn to you, Jesus, as your Savior. I also want to pray for our 4th of July weekend and our freedom as we keep people safe, but help us to remember why we have freedom and how we got that freedom. All those veterans that have gone, that have passed with the ultimate sacrifice of their life to give us freedom to be here, soldiers that are continuing to fight today, Lord, to grant us that freedom. We want to pray for the future of our country. Most of all, Lord, that we have freedom to worship you. In your name I pray, amen. So here's a message that has been on my heart for a while, and so the title of my sermon is called Be Still and Know That I Am God, and it's from Psalm 46:10. And this was a important scripture in the life of my aunt. And so today is going to be kind of about her testimony and some of the things that I picked out of there that I learned, I think, that are very important for all of us that we can use in our daily life. And so she passed away this winter from COVID, and they had the funeral in March. And while we were at the funeral, it just was put on my heart to share her message, this testimony of her. And so there's a picture of her, so you can kind of put a face with a name as we talk about her. But Charlotte, like Sean and myself, found our salvation as adults. We didn't find it as young kids or teenagers. My aunt grew up in the Catholic denomination, as was I, which I believe gave us both a good foundation in our faith. But also similar to her story and my story is we were looking for a deeper connection, a deeper spiritual connection in life. And we were searching for that relationship with our Father God. And we both longed for that freedom to have a bond with Jesus. And so as you hear some of these things, hopefully you'll hear that. My aunt and her husband Milo were both saved and reborn at a Hills Alive concert in Rapid City, South Dakota. They have it every summer. And I just recently learned before her passing that she was blessed with the Holy Spirit and was able to speak in tongues. So, man, how amazing was that? And I didn't get to hear her story. She passed away before I could hear it. But I did know that my mom shared that message with me, that she was able to speak in tongues. And so it's my hope and prayer today that her story will inspire you and help lead you to a deeper relationship with our Father God and His beloved Son, Jesus. So as I looked at her testimony, before I read it, and I'm going to read the whole thing word for word, I think it's important. There were 9 different things that I pulled out of that I think are important, some life lessons. And so I just want to share that list with you before I start to read it, so hopefully you can see that as we go through it. But how God is working and the goodness that He has. So the first thing she talks about is Jesus is a rock. Talks about the still small voice. She says, get your eyes off of yourself. God will confirm for us. Focus on God. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Rely on His strength. Be faithful in tithing. And our God is the same God. So I'm going to dig into her testimony. And really, nobody knew this existed. And so I got to get a copy of this from her daughter, Wendy, when they were going through things for the funeral, making arrangements for the funeral. They did find this, and so they were able to share it with me. So it was pretty awesome. So it's titled, Be Still and Know That I Am God, Psalm 46:10, the testimony of Charlotte Gunderson. And she wrote this on April 20th of 1997. Says, I want to relax and forget about the many faces looking at me and just share my story of the past year. God brought me through this valley, and He deserves the praise and thanks. I am a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a second grade teacher, and someone who has been healed of cancer. And so she wrote this testimony to share with her women's church group. And so after she went through all this, she felt it was important to share that story with them. So that's where she was addressing her nervousness of being in front of a group of people. It continues, on January 15th, 1996, I received a phone call from my son-in-law, Jeremy Zako, from Colorado Springs, telling me that he may be transferred as a manager of the Carmike Theater to Rapid City. Wendy, Jeremy, and Taylor had been living in Colorado Springs since their marriage. Excuse me. I was absolutely delighted with the prospect of them returning to Rapid City so we could be a closer family. That day, my entry in my prayer journal was, as much as this is the desire of my heart, I commit this to you. I want your will and your best for Wendy, Jeremy, and little Taylor. We found out within a month that Jeremy definitely did have the opportunity of moving back to Rapid City, and I was the happiest mom and grandma. Everything was going along just fine. The next entry in my journal was about a week later, and I wrote, Jesus is my rock. And I listed 15 different times that I knew Jesus had delivered me. There were dramatic times for me, and I knew Jesus had been my rock through Wendy's pregnancy, Milo's heart attack, no tears at Wendy's wedding, comfort and peace when Wendy and Taylor moved away to Colorado, and the decision to leave the Catholic Church, back to my being born again at a Carmen concert at Hills Alive. Now as I look back, I see it was the Holy Spirit preparing me for the road ahead. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that these were times Jesus had been my rock in the past. The next entry in my journal was, "Be still and know that I am God." I wrote, "Help me to listen and hear from you. I want to hear the still small voice." And I wrote, "Get your eyes off yourself. Be a help to others. Look at others. Joy is Jesus, others, and yourself." Once again, the Holy Spirit was preparing me for the road ahead. In February, I had my yearly doctor's appointment, and at the time of the appointment, he said that the hemoquant test showed some blood, that he wanted me to come back for another test. I had the test, and again, he wanted me to schedule another test at the hospital. And this time, I felt upset at the doctor because I went to him because I had a headache, and he was checking me out on the other end. As a teacher, I was always buying books, and I had the Illustrated Home Medical Reference Mayo Clinic book. So I read it and cross-referenced all I could find out with what may be the problem. And I studied the pictures, and I had a picture in my mind of what colon cancer looked like on an x-ray. At the hospital, while I was being x-rayed, I looked on the screen and saw the same black spot as was pictured in that medical book. The x-ray technician could not say anything, but I knew something was wrong. During that week, uncertainty and fear were racing through my mind and fighting with God's peace and assurance of His holy word. I read Psalms that night, and I had been seeing this black spot on my colon in the x-ray department. I tried to concentrate on scripture, but my mind kept thinking something is wrong. Then Psalm 46:10 jumped out of the page at me. My eyes got wide, my heart beat faster. I blinked and read Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Have you ever had that happen to you when you know God is saying, "This is my word for you"? I was assured for a little while and very bravely asked the Lord, "Please confirm this word to me tomorrow." In my own predictable mind, I thought someone at school would come up to me and say, "Charlotte, be still," or "just be still. God will be there with you." Well, wait till you hear how Almighty God confirmed His word for me. My radio alarm clock is set to come on at 5:45 a.m. in the morning. The very first words I heard that Tuesday morning on the radio were, "Be still and know that I am God." I jumped out of bed, I blinked the sleep out of my eyes again, and grabbed a pencil and started writing. The writing was big and in capital letters. It said, "Focus on God. Use your mind and spirit to discover God's way and His will so you can obey Him." I heard the word, direction, counsel, caution, sense of Holy Spirit strength. The radio program on that April 16th, 1996 morning was from Dr. Joseph Stowell from the Moody Bible School on Proclaim. He was teaching about Psalm 46:10. I was completely in awe. Almighty God had given me that word, and I was going to cling to that no matter what. I went to school that day and tried to keep my mind on reading and math and all of my classes and my second graders, but every once in a while I would see that black spot in my mind and the thought of cancer came racing back to me. I called the doctor from school during one of my breaks, and he did say the report was very serious. He said I should call him back when I got home so we could talk more. He gave me the name of another doctor and set up another appointment on Friday. That week, the mental anguish was always there. One minute I would be working, the next minute I would be thinking about that black spot and cancer, and then I would recite the words, "Be still and know that I am God." God is so good. Every morning, the week of April 16th to April 19th, Dr. Stowell had another message of comfort and something to cling to. One day it was, "Look and just relax and know that God is in control." One day it was the music of, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and all the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." On Friday morning, I wrote in my journal, "God has the character and capability to see me through. Be still and know that I am God." And while I was in the hospital, her son Jeremy ordered the tapes of those messages from the radio program that week, and I've listened to them over and over and over and been uplifting by the Lord's timing. I was teaching in a public school, so I just can't quote scripture anytime, right, as her mind wanders, but I managed to say it out loud. As the children were lined up for recess, I said, I need you to say and hear just as much as I do, be still. Friday, Milo and I met with the next doctor. I was scheduled for another test on Monday. Now, the tests were not so bad as himself. It was a preparation that's quite unpleasant. The colonoscopy did show a tumor that needed to be removed. If I could be scheduled, it could be done the next day. I didn't want to go through another prep like that colonoscopy. 1 gallon of Cololite was enough for me. I stayed in the hospital and was ready for surgery the next day. Both Pastor Rhodes and Pastor Dahlberg came by and prayed with me that morning. It was so comforting just to be in the family of God at Bethel and receive prayers from our pastor and people there. Just as I was given the IV, Dean Gibson from their church came in, and because he was a nurse anesthetist, he was there with Dr. Van Etten, the surgeon. They said the pathology report did show cancer. All I remember is that Dean took me by the hand and prayed. God is so good to put people, his people, in these places. I knew this was a special gift from God, and I felt peace and reassurance. I awoke from surgery. I remember Dr. Van Etten said the cancer had spread into my lymph nodes and I needed chemotherapy. The time between surgery and the beginning of chemo was about 4 weeks, and I was anxious to go to school and talk with my class. I just prayed the Lord would give me the words and wisdom to be a witness to the children without scaring them, and yet that I could explain I could not come back to finish the school year. God was so gracious. The morning went perfectly. I just explained I would need more medicine to get better, and the children listened, and they asked questions, and they eagerly told me about their experiences and people that they knew. Each Sunday, when Pastor invited people to come forward to be prayed for, if they had something bigger that they couldn't handle, I went forward to the altar. I knew this was beyond my capability. The Holy Spirit gives the strength, even when you think, why should I go forward? Everybody will think she was just there last week. And yet I had to go for that prayer. I just couldn't handle this in my own strength. I needed the Lord. I remember another inward struggle. Should I write the check for tithing and missions offering? What if I lose my job? What if we don't have enough money for this big expense? We don't have very much savings. What should I do? I just decided to write the check the same as usual and let the Lord deal with it. I just wanted to show my trust, the money, and trust and money were with the Lord. He was always faithful. He supplies every need. The medical bills are paid. Praise you, Jesus. Chemotherapy began on May 20th of 1996. I went for 5 days in a row, and the 6 sessions were spaced 3, 4, and 5 weeks apart. Chemo lived up to its reputation. The nausea was there. The smell of water was awful. The restless nights, the weariness of your legs and arms were part of the reaction. I felt really good before starting the next treatment, yet I praise God it was working. My blood count showed this. During this time of chemo, I was blessed with special prayer partners. Anna Dick first called me while I was in the hospital, and she'd been a special gift of the Lord's hand as we joined together to enter the Lord's throne room. I received prayers and cards from so many people. This is why I'm here today to share with you, God does hear us. Another blessing of this whole experience was the closeness of our family. Milo, in a sense of humor, made the sessions at the hospital a time of making new friends. He has such a quick and different wit and sometimes makes just me shut up and laugh and look at things in a different way. God has put us two opposites together for some balance, and he's very supportive. He works nights, and it's difficult for him to get up in the morning, but he does. Wendy, Jeremy, Taylor, and baby Nick are such a joy. The Lord is so good to have them back here in Rapid City just 1 month before this all began. I looked at my grandsons, Taylor and Nick, and to just hear, I love you, is all worthwhile. They have taught me to say I love you more often than I ever said it before. Music has a way of touching our hearts. Praise courses uplift my spirit. While I was in the hospital, The March for Jesus tape had some special songs, such as I've Decided to Follow Jesus. Carrie Lang came and sang for me. This was such a joy and reassurance. On Sunday, I was at home preparing dinner, and our African student, Riney, said he had a special surprise for me. It was a Hosanna music worship video, all keyed up to the song, He's Alive. We sat and we watched the whole video singing and worshiping the Lord. This experience has taught me compassion for others. People are going through cancer and other illnesses. People who provide the same care and support, they need our prayers and our encouragement. I have learned to appreciate the little things, the flowers, the fall leaves, the white snow, the green grass, all of God's creation. I experience this as a way to learn and grow. God is teaching me about His timing and submission. As of now, the last blood test done in March, my blood shows no sign of cancer. Most importantly, I know God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And whatever happens, God will carry me through just as He's done this year. I want to praise Him for everything. So it's a big story, and as we dig into it a little bit, like I said, there's nine different things I pulled from that I want to share with you. And so the first thing that, you know, is based on her testimony is the scripture Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, right? And that's so important, and she puts that in her journal entry. I had them all lined out, and sure as the heck, it got upside down. All right. All right. So, sorry about that. As we dive into it, as I looked at Psalm 46:10, I wondered, well, where did that psalm come from? And so I did a little research, and as I pulled out my Bible, it said in there, Psalm 46 was titled, God as a refuge of His people and conqueror of the nations. The description says, to the chief musician, a psalm to the sons of Korah. And so I looked up and did some research to figure out where this came from, because my understanding, most of the psalms were written by David. And so I did find there was, you know, other ones in there. And so the story of Korah is interesting. It comes from Numbers, chapter 16 in the book of Numbers. And so Korah, along with a couple other men, Dathan and Abiram, with 250 other men, led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron and God. And they were upset because they were Levites, and their job was to take care of the tabernacle and all the stuff that went with it, right? And so they felt in their minds that they should be priests like Aaron and his sons. And they weren't happy about it, and so they led this little rebellion, right? It didn't turn out very good for them, as God was not happy, and He ended up opening the earth, right? Split the earth open and swallowed up those families. And then He sent fire down and consumed the 250 men. However, He did spare Korah's sons. And so his sons were responsible for writing 11 different psalms, including Psalm 46. And many of their verses express the highest praise and devotion for the Lord. And so as we dig deeper into my aunt's story that I just read to you, it starts in one of her journal entries, talks about Jesus is a rock. Charlotte begins by talking about something with before cancer even started, right? Before cancer even started. Give me a timeout here. I can't believe, I don't know how these got all, they're all discombobulated. Give me a second. So she talks about Jesus is a rock, and that before the cancer was discovered, she still clung to that rock. She was so thankful for the blessings in her life, right? And she talks about some other things, and then she continues another journal entry. It comes again, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And after she wrote that, she has two major ideas that emerge from that psalm that really get with her. The first one is be still and know that I'm God, and then hear the still small voice. Right? She said, I want to hear the still small voice. And in 1 Kings book 19, verses 11 through 13, we hear of Elijah after he defeated the prophets of Baal. He's looking for rest and truth, and in verse 11, it says, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed away, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And finally, verse 13, and when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here? The Lord didn't come in waves to Elijah, or maybe what we would think, right? Glorious God should make it epic, right? Earthquake, a wind, a fire, but he came in a gentle whisper. And my aunt said, I want to hear that still, small voice. It's difficult to be still and hear that small voice sometimes, but we still must try. We must try to hear the voice of God for direction and instruction. And in March of 2021, shortly after Sean and I completed our membership classes, I was using this new prayer formula I learned in the membership classes. I was in our office and the lights were off, and I'd put on some worship songs, and I was getting my spiritual vibe going with some good songs. And then I read a couple of scripture, and I gave thanks to God for all the blessings that he had been giving my family, and I prayed for some items of need for people. And then I said, okay, I've never sat and just been still, so I'm going to try it, right? I sat in silence and listened for his voice, right? And it took a little bit, and I sat there in silence. And I'm not going to lie, I was skeptical, like, is this going to work? Is he going to say something to me? I don't know. So I sat there, and all of a sudden, I directly heard the words, Brian, do my work. And eyeball fell out of my chair. I said, what? Well, this really works? Holy cow. Like, I was chuckling to myself and laughing. Like, I really couldn't believe it. And then I said, well, that wasn't God. That was just me, right? I'm in here by myself. That was just me, right? But the more I prayed in the moment, the more that I heard not my voice, the more I meditated on it, I heard his voice saying, Brian, do my work. I tell you what, that moment changed my life. And so hearing that voice began my journey, right? I've been trying to do his work at church with you. I try to do it in my classroom. I try and do it with my Fellowship of Christian Athletes group, with my volleyball program and team, and with my family. Take time to pray and take time to listen to that still small voice. The second major idea from my aunt's verse that she took away was getting your eyes off yourself. And in here, she's talking about being selfless. And this is something I've always been on my heart. The 25, 26 years I've been coaching volleyball, I try and put some of that selflessness into my players. But she said, get your eyes off yourself and be a help to others. Look at others. Joy is Jesus, others, and yourself. Selflessness is something our world is so desperately needing right now. In a culture of just me, me, me. That's what society's filled with. Me, me, me. I. My aunt was recognizing the need to put others first. As we look at another piece of scripture from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. The word of the Lord says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interest of others. We need to focus on selfless acts. help others, edify others, and be kind and generous to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at the most selfless act ever of history, right? God provided that example for us. It comes from one of the most famous verses and well-used pieces of Scripture. We see it sometimes at football games or baseball games. Someone will be with a sign, right? And maybe the TV camera will focus on it. Maybe see it at a parade. But it's the famous Scripture, John 3:16. And in that famous Scripture, the Word of the Lord says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Wait, what? God did that for us? Like, it's almost too much to think of sometimes when I think of that He's going to take His Son that sits in heaven already, and He's going to put Him down here in the form of man, right, for our sins, for us, to save us, to work with us, to help us. Like, it's really sometimes mind-blowing, right? How generous and how good is God to do that? That's the ultimate selfless act. It's amazing, right? And if we think about that, man, let's just say thank you. Let's put your hands in the air or give a hand clap to God right now and say thank you, God, for doing that, right? It's pretty amazing. But what is also exciting is the fact that Jesus came here to save us. It's not just some simple saying, just some mantra that's out there, right, so that we can believe. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. Jesus provides our salvation, and it is our only way to get to eternal life in heaven. Most of my life, I never knew if heaven was even a possible goal or achievement. Would I get there? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It's scary, terrifying some days. But hey, I could be good. I'll be good today, maybe not tomorrow, right? Excuse me. I'll go to church, and then I'll go out and have a couple beers, and I'll do conflicting things of the kingdom of God. But you know what? If I do enough good deeds, I'll get there. But now, since I've been saved and reborn, I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know I'm a child of God, and I have the confidence because I know that Scripture reassures me of this. I know I'll see the Father and the Son in His heavenly kingdom one day. Hallelujah. Again, as my aunt talks about being still, she's looking for that confirmation, like a lot of us are sometimes, right? She says, she wrote again, "Be still and know that I am God." Peculiar. By the time she wrote this, she knew there was trouble with the x-ray of the black spot, but she kept trying to read Scripture, and she was having difficulty concentrating on what was going on. And so she kept turning to "Be still and know that I am God." It's like every other page disappears. I'm sorry, people. I'm always like super organized, and it's like it's just like page 14 just disappeared out of the air. That's okay. There is a Scripture in there, and I'm missing. And hopefully, Logan, you can put up the Scripture from John 20. On the story of Thomas, because I'm missing a page. I'll have to read it off of there. But we want confirmation. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. We want confirmation. And she got that on a radio program, right? That she turned on the radio and it was there, and we want that confirmation. And so as we look at confirmation in Scripture, we can look at John, it's chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. And it says, starting in chapter 24, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my fingers in the mark of his nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.' 8 days later, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and Jesus said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Where was Thomas's faith? Where's our faith? Remember, God is in control and he can help build our faith. He gives us examples and situations to see his greatness. And these examples serve as a testimony of God so we can share this news with others, thus strengthening our faith. Charlotte asked for and heard her confirmation on the radio program at 5:45 a.m. Her alarm clock went off for that radio program, which just so happened to be discussing Psalm 46:10, Be still and know that I am God. The Almighty Father God sent her that confirmation she needed, and my aunt said, I will cling to that no matter what. She was going to focus on God. Remember, at this point, again, she's still not sure she has cancer, just there is a black spot. But already my aunt is preparing for battle and aligning herself to make sure God is on her side. And she wrote in her journal, focus on God. Scripture tells us a few things about focusing on God. If we look at Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are on earth. Where should we focus our mind? Set them above on God, set them on earth, right? Go, go, go. No, set your minds on things that are above. But so many times we get caught up in our earthly schedule that we lose our way and lose our heavenly mindset. My aunt has been a faithful woman of God, but now she's going to lean in even more for God on her side. Distractions get in the way and that can take away our focus on God. We're so busy running here and there with our schedules, our earthly schedules, we forget to be mindful on the things above. But what if we put our minds on God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and we use all three together? What a difference could that make? Would it make? It would, right? We see that from testimony, not just my aunt's testimony, your testimony. Lots of you have shared great stories of testimony with each other in this church. Listen to what Pastor Justin said today. That's amazing stuff, right? Charlotte had to go teach her second graders, right, that next day, and she had to talk about what was going on, and she needed that strength to carry on, and she did. She kept fighting forward, and she kept her spirit. She accepted Jesus as her Savior. And now, years later, she was going to again turn her focus on God even more. Another big takeaway I got out of this was it said, I can't do this on my own strength. She explains when she learned the test results were cancerous, she needed surgery followed by chemotherapy. She talks about going to church every week. Right? She had to go to church and she had to pray and she just couldn't do it herself. She kept running to the altar for prayers. And then, right, the devil starts stirring up things in her head. Well, why are you going up there? You don't need to go up there. And she said, well, she even put the thought in her head, why do I go up there? They must think that what's wrong with me? I just was up there last week. Why do I keep going up there? But she said, I can't do this on my own. And quoting her words, I just couldn't handle this in my own strength. She needed someone to help her, and it was God and Jesus. We as human creatures think we're so tough that we can do it on our own all the time. And we talked about Colossians already, right? Set your mind on things above, not on this earth. She went running to Jesus. She kept going to that altar. She kept asking for prayers. She ran to that altar like the song, right? Cody Carnes, Run to the Father, right? She went running up there. We don't need to run. We need to sprint when he calls us. We need to sprint to our Savior because he is our God. He will strengthen us and he will help us. We need to be faithful to him. The other part she talked about was the tithing, right? She had that dilemma, and I know a lot of us go through that. I go through that a lot. She was torn because what if the bills got out of hand? She was a school teacher in South Dakota. They're like
like bottom of the list in the United States, right? They're like number 48 or 49 out of the 50 states in worst teacher pay. So, you know, they had a tough time. She said, we didn't have enough savings. How am I going to do this, right? But I'm going to write my check anyway. I'm going to let the Lord deal with it. Put it in his hands, right? Take it out of her hands, put it in his hands. And he did, right? Her bills were paid, and they went on from that. It was pretty amazing to me to see her being faithful, not just with her trust in God, but with her money also. Well, she went on to beat cancer, and she ended up, her and Milo moved to Bismarck, and they, she was healed, cancer went away, and she lived out a long life with their grandkids in retirement in Bismarck. And her husband, Milo, just passed away last fall, and then she passed away this winter from COVID. And so, it's been really close on my heart. But one of the final big takeaways that I got from this was one of the very last things she said in her testimony. And it talked about, I know God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And there's a song we sing a couple times. I know Beth has played at worship. It's called Same God. And it's so true of what God has done in the past, what he's doing today, and what he's going to do in the future. And so as I looked at that, I said, I've got to find some scripture, right? We've got to make sure that what she's saying is proven, right? And here's the truth, right? From Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And I found three verses, three different scriptures. The second one was from John 14:6, and it said, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And the third is from Revelation 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Through my aunt's life, she's recognized the beauty and strength and everlasting power of God. She relied on the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, to guide her through the valleys of her life, but she also took time to give praise and worship in the good points of her life, right? When she's going through all those things, just like Pastor said today, right? If we don't think God is there and his goodness is there, we just got to throw our hands up and continue to worship him, right? Because we never know what his plan is. We never know what he's going to do. So, kind of summarizing the main points of her testimony that I want to share. She first of all started talking about, right, Jesus is our rock. Let's look at Jesus as our rock. She said, let's hear that still, small voice. When we're busy and we don't have time, we just got to be silent and sit and listen. Get your eyes off yourself and be a selfless person. God will provide confirmation, right? Sometimes, not always. Sometimes it's not directly from him. Sometimes it's in a message. And I got another story for you about that one. That's a whole nother day. She said to focus on God, turn your eyes to Jesus, rely on his strength when you can't do it on your own. Be faithful in your tithing, and then our God is the same God. What he did then, he can do now, and he will do in the future. Just rely on him. So as we look at this testimony, like I said, I know there's tons of testimonies out there that you guys have some amazing stories and amazing things, and share them with each other. You know, when we're waiting for church, when we're back doing potluck, share those stories, because that is what gives hope. We can hear that story of what God is really doing. It's not just some story from 2,000 years ago. This is stuff, it's not from the past, right? He's the same God today, and he's still doing those things. So share with each other those testimonies that you have, big or small, right? They're all the work of God. Charlotte's testimony and story are a story of faithful obedience to her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to her Father God. Charlotte has been an example for me and my family as we begin our journey as saved and reborn Christians. I hope her story will inspire you to proclaim Jesus as your Savior. It's been on my heart, and I prayed about this a lot this past week and since her funeral, that if I did get an opportunity to share this message, I did want to ask for people to take some time and think about Jesus Christ's saving spirit. Have you not accepted Jesus as your Savior? Maybe you have. Maybe you have not. But when you hear these things, what are you waiting for? What are you holding back from? And so as we close today, Logan's going to play a song, and I just want to open the altar up. We haven't been in church for a couple weeks with the picnic. And maybe some of you just want to come up and pray for other things. But if you really feel compelled to declare Jesus as your Savior, your personal Savior, He will change your life. This weekend we celebrate Independence Day, right? Independence Day, freedom from Great Britain, freedom from the bad king over there and whatever. But you know what? What if we think about today and Independence Day is proclaiming our freedom in Jesus Christ? It's our freedom day. If you haven't found Him as your Savior, find it today. Find it today and get that freedom over your life. Let Him take away your burdens. Put them at His feet. If you're fighting depression, anxiety, fears, if you're facing heartaches, just turn to Him and look at Him and say, Jesus, You're my Savior. Right? Now is the time to do it. You can come forward to pray for that, whatever else. Pastor Justin's here. He can definitely pray over you. And today, take back our freedom in Jesus. You make that choice to follow Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Brian. It's always, always, always good to be reminded of our salvation, of the fact that Jesus has saved us. And so, think about Charlotte's life and how what she walked through, what she lived through, what she went through has had a profound impact on you. But because He shared that with us, it's had a profound impact on us. And each and every one of your lives is the exact same. What the world needs is not somebody to tell it what's wrong with it, somebody to stand up and say, we need to do this and that, but somebody to stand up and say, look who my God is. Look what He has done for me, and look what He can do for you. And so, as you leave, I just want to thank you for coming today, and I know that it's a busy weekend, but just want to pray God's blessing over each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that as we heard of Your goodness, God, as we heard of Your faithfulness, God, that we would take some time this week and be still and to know that You are God. Not to give mental assent, but to know in the very core of our being that You are God, to the deepest possible way that we can. Father, I thank You for all that You have done. I thank You for each and every person here. And Father, I pray that this weekend, God, that You would bless them, that Your presence would go with them. Father, I pray that You would stretch forth Your hand and touch and meet the needs of Your people. God, I pray that as we come together again, that You would bring us all back together safely. Father, we praise You and we thank You. In sin, Jesus, I pray. Amen. A reminder that next Sunday is the community worship gathering, so no service here next Sunday morning. It'll be at the gym at Beulah High School at 10:30.